to learn something about early universe. The topic of our workshop is the primordial non-Gaussianity. As we heard from many previous speakers, to analyze non-Gaussianity in data is a highly non-trivial business. In a theoretical point of view, for example, you have only one form of a Gaussian, but you can have infinite number of ways to deviate from Gaussian. Even given a Gaussian ansatz, to construct estimator, as we have seen, it will involve some computationally expensive multiple integrations. So which means we better start a finite number of analytical ansatz for non-Gaussianities, which has a good theoretical motivation. Given a particular ansatz, that non-Gaussian profile is better to be written in a form which is suitable for data analysis. For example, if you want to calculate to analyze bispectrum, it's better be factorizable. Given if we have all the forms, we want to try them all in a data analysis, because we keep in mind that a detection with a particular ansatz, which of course is already a very exciting news, does not mean we have found the right form of a non-Gaussianity. Therefore, it seems to be a desirable goal to try to characterize all possible non-Gaussianities coming from inflation models. Now, at first sight, this sounds like a very ambitious goal. In this talk, I will try to show that at least in a single field inflation, this is manageable. Although you have infinite number of actions in principle, but the non-Gaussianity arising from that, large or small, is only a small set of forms, actually only a handful set. So we can characterize and do data analysis exhaustively. Because of that, it's we hope the similar things can happen for multiple fields, and we should keep optimistic. Okay, let's see what happens in a most popular single field inflation. So Montesena and others has demonstrated conclusively single field inflation with a canonical kinetic term moving on smooth potential under attractor solutions in Bunch-Davis vacuum produce unobservable non-Gaussianities. So it's already very exciting that you have many things to do for both theories and data analysis, because there's many underlying assumptions if you realize it. So there are many ways to deviate from that. First, you can try non-canonical kinetic terms. You can may have sharp features in both potentials and wall factors. You may have a non-trivial initial condition, although everything is smooth, such as, for example, you have a short inflation, you have some memory has not been erased by 60 eVolts. You can try non-Bunch-Davis vacuum, which more generically will include the people talking about transplanking physics, which is still feel theoretic, or maybe even stringing physics, where the vacuum becomes stringing, fluctuation becomes stringing. Okay, so first let me define what do I mean by single field inflation. By single field inflation, I mean the inflation is responsible not only for the inflaton is not only responsible for the inflation, but also density perturbation. Also, I am assuming the Lagrangian to be an arbitrary function of this combination, which I call X, as we have seen in previous talks, for example, dense talk. And also, I am assuming the sound speed and the lambda, which is related to the third derivative of Lagrangian, to be arbitrary. We will, at the end of the talk, we will be able to see that we can derive the generic cubic action for each of the category of cases that I listed in the last slide. We can characterize the form of a non-Gaussianities. Even more, the form of a non-Gaussianity, as we will show, is associated with the distinctive dynamics which generate that non-Gaussianity. So that makes more optimistic that many of them can represent many other forms which arising from multi-field models which has similar dynamics. Okay, so let me define some terminologies which people usually use when you characterize the non-Gaussian entities. The non-Gaussian entity, here we mean the bispectrum, which is a function with a magnitude characterized by F and L, but it's a function of three momentum, K1, K2, K3. Here it's the magnitude of its momentum. There's a shape dependence of this function. Here I define to be fixing the carbon capital K, which is some summation of three of the magnitudes, but I vary the ratio of K1 over K2 and K1 over K3. A three particular interesting shape that people usually consider is the squeezed one, equilateral, and in this case, we'll call it folded. There's another freedom, which means you can fix the shape of the triangle by fixing the ratio with respect to KIs, but vary the overall size of the triangle, capital K, in which case, analogous to the spectral index, you can define the running of the non-Gaussian entities by this index. Okay, so let's start with a general formalism in a single field inflation, which can allow us to do the analysis of the model that I just mentioned. And here's the action. The P here is Lagrangian. They usually labeled as P because actually it's a pressure when you work out the energy momentum tensor. So the sound speed is actually very analogous to that in the fluid dynamics. D pressure over dE, which is related to a second derivative of P, and lambda is related to a third derivative of X. If you're interested in trispectrum and so on, you can define, you need to define more parameters, which is a fourth order derivative, fifth order derivative of F, of P. And sigma is not a independent parameter, it's just a useful parameterization. It's also useful to define several generalized slow roll parameters, which you call slow variation parameters, which tells you how fast this parameter, this inflation parameters vary. For example, epsilon characterizes how fast the Hubble constant vary, eta, epsilon vary, and s, how fast sound speed vary. So for normal inflation without any sharp features, people usually do, all these parameters in this class of models have to be small, which means they have to vary very slowly. When I say slow, I refer to the Hubble time. This is why there's a Hubble constant appearing in the denominator of all these parameters. Now these parameters, as I mentioned, is more general than slow parameters. For example, slow parameters need a flat potential and everything is determined by that potential. But here you can have a steep potential, for example, dBi inflation that people are talking about. In K inflation, I don't need potential at all. Also here, the rolling of the inflaton can be very fast. Typically can be ultra-relativistic in dBi inflation. The formalism that enables us to calculate the field theory perturbation of density perturbation is the ADM formalism, which has been developed in a series paper by Monacena, Siri, and Lisi, and us. We start with this metric, where capital N and Ni are Lagrangian multipliers. We stay in the co-moving gauge, where you set the scalar fluctuation to be zero, and all the non-trivial information about the scalar gauge invariant perturbation is this parameter zeta, which parameterizes the position-dependent scale factor. Now, here's the action following from this metric. And what you want to do is you want to solve for this Lagrangian multipliers and plug back into the action and expand in terms of the zeta. So I'll show you, in case you haven't seen the calculation, I will show you some of the details, but only very schematic. The advantage of ADM formalism is, although naively you're interested in the cubic order and you want to expand everything to cubic order, when you solve the Lagrangian multipliers, you actually only need to solve up to the first order. Generally, the statement is, if you stay in this formalism, the nth order of the Lagrangian multiplier will be multiplied with the zeroth order constraint equation, which vanishes. and n minus one order of the n will be multiplied by the first order constraint equation, which also vanishes. Non-trivial part comes after that. Okay, therefore, we write down the equation of motion for the Lagrangian multipliers, decompose it in terms of zeta, but we only need to solve up to order zeta. Then we plug them back into the actual and expand. That's it. So here's the result. You don't have to pay attention to the details of this cubic action. I will explain term by term where it comes into interest. The only thing you might want to remember here is the chi parameter is proportional to epsilon, and it's linear in zeta dot. Epsilon is one of the slow variation parameter. And the function f here is a function of zeta squared plus all the terms which involve at least one derivative on zeta. Okay, once we have this cubic action, we can calculate the three-point correlation function. So what do we need to calculate? We need to calculate the expectation value of zeta cubed sandwiched between the interaction vacuum. This that evolution operator is defined by the interaction Hamiltonian, which has been written, can be written in the cubic action that we just obtained. Just expand this, the leading order is given by this expression. So we have interaction Hamiltonian. This zeta are the mode, the linear mode function solving the equation of motion in the second order. And once you obtain that, just do the integrations. T zero is minus infinity, meaning when the mode is inside the horizon, and T is some time after the mode exits the horizon. There are some common factors such as the delta function tells you the conservation of momentum, and they're generically proportional to power spectrum square, and there's a common K factors, and we write the three-point function in this form so that all the non-trivial information is encoded in this form factor A, which we call. Okay, now let's characterize all kind of non-Gaussian which can arise in this situation. So we first consider the smooth solution, by which we mean we consider attractive solutions with some without any sharp features. Now that means all these parameters have to be small, but some speed and the lambda can be arbitrary. In particular interest, it has to be much smaller than one. Some speed is much smaller than one, or lambda over sigma is much bigger than one. So in this case, pay attention to these four terms. They are all proportional to 1/c² or lambda. Now there's an epsilon. There's an epsilon in lambda. Or there's an epsilon in sigma, which multiplies the lambda, and also there's epsilon there. So all these terms proportion to 1/c² times epsilon, or 1/λ/sigma times lambda. So when you plug into the previous formulas and do the integration, you find the contribution of the form factor for non-Gaussian to pick up these two terms. As we said, since we keep CS and lambda arbitrary, this can be big. Yeah, lambda is related to the third derivative of X, which we define here. The sound speed is only a second derivative. Generally, you expect that quantity has to come in because you're interested in the
phi spectrum, which is
three and sigma is some problem.
Sigma is a parameter defined to be, it's not a new parameter, it's just for convenience because all the parameters here is already been defined.
Okay. Actually, I would disagree with this. I would generically expect P triple X does come in, but at a suppressed level because you have to multiply by phi dot for each leg of the three.
Not necessarily.
Well, you have six fields for P.
Six fields.
Yeah, so PXXX is the coefficient to X cubed.
There exist examples where.
No, actually, I'm not saying there doesn't exist examples. I wouldn't call it that generic.
No, it's actually generic.
No. It does come in, but I wouldn't expect it to be generically dominant. That was
actually, even in DBI inflation,
this is as big as 1 over c squared.
That's yeah, lambda. Yeah, but dBi is special. You know that.
Yeah. So the philosophy here is not taking any assumptions. So if you not want to consider any special solutions.
No, I was just making a comment on your comment that I try to understand the PXXX term in deep intuition.
Yes.
It's actually not obvious that it has to be dominant. It turns PXX being dominant.
No, I'm not saying it has to be dominant. I'm saying it has to come in.
Yeah, of course it comes in.
Yeah. But when you calculate this, immediately you see what do you need to invade Model Center statement? We have something non-trivial to be that small, something non-trivial to be big, right?
Also, Jingang, I would say that combination is also limited by the same argument I gave for the sound speed. So.
I'll talk about that at the end of talk. Yeah.
It looks naively suppose I had started at the level of zeta, I could have written down all those terms as a connected theory. Each of those terms have arbitrary coefficients. I seem to have an arbitrary parameter in each of the coefficients.
No, I only add there's only three parameters here.
This level,
epsilon, eta, and lambda. And also some Hubble constant and some speed is the background parameters.
Okay, so there's some consistency relation between
them. Well, the coefficient are okay.
Yeah.
you can figure out the relations, yeah. And there's another four terms which has an extra parameter of epsilon or s. So this suppresses this expression by the order of magnitude, but it's still observable in principle. There are such models. And one last term here, which is of the same order of the previous terms, is given by this term, which can be absorbed by a field redefinition. It's basically a shift of zeta, as you can absorb this term by shift of zeta, which introduce the extra term in a cubic, in a three-point correlation function, which is a product of two-point correlation functions. That gives you this order. Yeah. Now, that means if you want to calculate that, so you can redefine it in terms of zeta n, but after redefinition, you have an extra term. It's just a convenient way of calculating this term. You can calculate it by default. Just a convenient way to calculate that, because it has some special structure of zeta squared plus terms of derivatives. Once you do this, terms involved derivatives will vanish when you have the two-point correlation function, because it's either a derivative on time, which after exit horizon is zero, or spatial derivative is also zero, because of super horizon scale, right? So it's a convenient mathematical tool. Okay, to summarize, we can decompose the A in terms of that form, and in terms of six different functions. The leading two terms is like that. Second order suppressed by epsilon, it might still be big. And the next two leading orders is of order epsilon. Now, the most common terms that people cite because of dBi inflation is this term, which when CS is small, which is the most interesting case, is always negative. Now, I get this FNL by comparing this ansatz with the double mass defined FNL at the equilateral point. So, but keep in mind that the leading term, you also have another term, which in principle can be either positive or negative. But does not mean general singularity has to be this. The sign can be flipped by this sign. For example, there exist models like K-inflation models, which makes this contribution very big. So for dBi inflation, these two terms are exactly the same because of that special action. So they just identically become zero for some reason.
So K-inflation has positive?
Yeah, K-inflation can make this positive, but it's not always positive. So some of them is negative, some are positive, but K-inflation also have this contribution. So there are K-inflation models with this contribution, dominant of this contribution. So the total FNL becomes positive.
When you say K-inflation, does that include ghost inflation? Sorry.
No, I don't mean ghost inflation. K-inflation is the model by Akar. The name is very long.
Okay.
No, Armander's.
Oh, Armander is Pecan. Yeah. Milcon also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So their model is you expand X, it still can be written in terms of X and phi,
yeah.
But you don't have any potential. The specific example they produce is a function only of X with some coefficient of phi.
So
it's
Gaussian inflation, I
thought. But Gaussian inflation is not Lorentz invariant, break the Lorentz invariant in the action, so I cannot write it in that way. Yeah. Their action is Lorentz invariant.
If your K field, which is dominated not by the X energy, but let's say some phi energy, by like EBI, I mean, it is still conceivable that I can construct a field such that the first term dominates over the second term, right?
What do you mean K field?
Well, some general P of X or phi action. I don't care whether or not the dominant energy density is dominated by the X term or phi, just some general K field, X or phi.
Yeah, given an action like DBI action, you can do it.
No, DBI, some standard action, right?
Yeah, general action. So that's the point of a general analysis of this. Given that Lagrangian, I don't specify the mechanism of the inflation. I assume there's an inflation background.
Right.
There might be some inflation model people construct many years later or tomorrow, which fall into this kind of category.
Yeah.
I think you can also see from the criminality effective field theory of inflation,
uh-huh.
where you see directly that they have two contributions to FNL, which come with opposite sign.
Right.
And for DBI, those two contributions happen to be of the same order of magnitude.
Right.
But the negative contribution dominates just by numerical.
Yes. So, yeah. To
but the actually models where these two first, you know.
Yeah. So
the other dominates.
Yeah. So for this class, you assume this Lagrangian contribution in terms of X of phi. But if you want to include in the Gaussian inflation, you have to further generalize that action, for which you can refer to Primanelli et al.'s paper.
And that applies to Gaussian inflation and P of X.
Yes.
Okay. Gaussian inflation, you need a cosmology. You need a potential, don't you?
For Gaussian inflation?
Doesn't?
Well, to any inflation, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a constant that you add.
Yeah.
Okay. But this thing, you don't have a potential for K inflation.
Yeah, for those models which has, people talk about the UV obstructions, things like that. Yeah, but just in terms of field theory, it's been generalized in that way. Okay, we have referred to the shape of non-Gaussian energy. Here, all the observable form has roughly two different kinds of shapes. The function form may be a little different, but all three large non-Gaussian entities look similar to this. There might be some small deviations, but they all vanish in this translation in a squeeze limit. These two are squeezed. This is equilateral. For the unobservable one, which is all the epsilon terms, you have a local form, so-called. They peak and squeeze limit. So the running is relatively weak for the epsilon. And the dynamic associated with this large lambda energy is very clear here. When you small CS and large lambda, for each case, for both cases, which means you have higher derivative terms, which change the inflation dynamics away from slow.
The peaking for the A of epsilon, that's just one contribution. But we know from, if you sum everything up from my previous argument of Montesano, they should sum up to zero and just squeeze them.
Sum up to zero in the squeeze. No, this term, when I plot the shape here, there's an overall coefficient I ignore, which is of order ns minus 1.
Oh, I see.
I just refer to shape.
Oh.
That is the magnitude, right? Okay, so the dynamics here is very clear. So you have a higher derivative term, which change the inflation dynamics away from solo.
Introduce a large interactions for modes which are exiting the horizon. Because they all exit the horizon at roughly the similar time, they peak equilaterally. After that, they're frozen. Okay, now let's talk about adding sharp features. For example, you can add features in the potential, or you can add features in wall factors. People have been talking about this for a long time, mainly by extending the slow formalism. The conclusion is very clear, as you might have intuitively thought, the non-Gaussian entity will be enhanced But now, in order to estimate this more accurately and calculate the non-Gaussian profile, we need the exact formalism that I just wrote down in previous slides. So let me give you some feelings of what sharp features do for the inflation parameters. For example, if you have slow inflation, at the sharp feature, ignoring the background expansion, you simply have this energy conservation. And you don't want the inflation to be destroyed by that feature. So it changes a little, potential changes a little. By dot, it is directly proportional to epsilon. So that means epsilon has to be changed a little bit. So here's the example. Note this is not zero for the y-axis. So this is actually only less than factor of two change for epsilon. So epsilon still remains small is the main point. If you have a sharp feature in the wall factor, the energy conservation takes a different form, which is this. Similarly, because wall factor is very important for the DPI inflation to happen, you want delta T over T to be very small. So by this relation, you immediately see delta CS over CS has to be very small. Also, this is not zero here. So there's only small fraction change in the CS. This is a rough behavior of the inflation parameter such as epsilon and CS when it encounters, for example, a step in the wall factor. So overall, we see there's a approximate energy conservation relation that protects epsilon CS to change too much. So they change a little, but they change in a very short period of time. If you plot the eta, which is a variation of epsilon, or CS, which is a variation of sound speed, they change by several orders of magnitude. So the plot here, note that now the origin here is really the zero for the y-axis. So originally, these two parameters are very small, smaller even 1% or even smaller. But because of this sharp feature, it just boosted into over 10. Depend on parameters, it can be boosted by several orders of magnitude. So now we know the epsilon prime, which is eta, or s, or their derivatives can be big. So we look for terms in a cubic action which contain those kind of terms. And we find two terms. They give this kind of contribution. Note if S is big, eta is big, it's big. But in DPI inflation or some K inflation, it can also be enhanced by a small sound speed. So what is the form? This is only tells you the magnitude of non-Gaussian, the peak of the non-Gaussian. What is the profile, the whole profile of non-Gaussian as a function of K1, K2, K3? This is very important for data analysis. We can see this quantitatively in the following way. So in order to calculate that, we do this integration as we just mentioned, and there's some factor of e to the I k tau coming from this multiplication of three mode functions, roughly speaking. If everything else is smooth, it's like a Fourier transformation of a smooth function, so you've got a smooth function in the K momentum space as well. But however, if you have a sharp feature in some of the coefficient, which is the coupling constant, for example, a delta function, it picks up a particular mode, introducing oscillating behavior in the K space. So this is a schematic, but characterizes the most important feature of the non-Gaussian caused by sharp feature. Now, if you take this form and not go to the limit where the shape is too squeezed, where this form gets broken down, we see that the shape here is trivial, just type of K. But the running is the most important feature. This is the K space. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, this can change power spectrum as well. So you have to fit the parameters which the power spectrum is still viable. Yeah. So they're basically, there are more freedoms in non-Gaussian entity which you can adjust than the power spectrum. So you can easily keep the power spectrum very viable, for example, by adjusting the peak to be very small, but you have still long oscillations, but minuscule oscillations in the power spectrum. But the bias spectrum gets hugely boosted. Yeah. So you always keep in mind you have to fit at least the power spectrum. Yeah.
What are you plotting
here? Yeah, I'm plotting this function, which contains the information.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, the x-axis is the k, capital K, and this is the A over K1, K2, K3, roughly speaking. So as I said, the qualitative behavior in the K space is oscillating because a sharp feature picks up some particular mode, K star. The K star is the K mode which encounters, which just exits the horizon when the inferton encounters the sharp scale. That's the scale of this. So the most important feature is the running, it's oscillating. But it will localize, relatively localized at this scale. Kappa, let's say K equal to 1 is the scale of the sharp feature. Any questions?
This is R. What does
it translate to? You wonder about this number?
Well, what I'm worried is about is that to capture as far as spectrum, it doesn't have to be small. It couldn't be very
small. Yeah. Yeah. So, yes. Okay. Let me give you an example. So, in power spectrum, the glitch, let's say C is the functional delta V over V, which tells you how high is the sharp feature, and D is the width of this sharp feature. Basically, that's the D and width. That amplitude of this feature of F C here, you estimate it using this formula then say of itself. Okay. So basically you're saying how should I keep this small, make this big? You have a parameter.
No, it's not only that. I'm just saying to calculate delta P, you estimated some Bessel equation.
Oh.
And then you have to make sure you're still in a valid, standard approximation.
Yeah, so you mean, generally I don't even have to calculate standard equation. I just put it in the computer, calculate
okay,
the mode
so
function.
If you're doing
yeah.
Right. Is
that so formula?
Is that what you do?
This is what we got, this profile. And we also try to approximate the analytical, so we confirm this kind of answer. Because we need answers, for example, if you want to do the estimate of construction. How about you have a series of sharp features? So if a series of sharp features are all separated by at least one e-fold, it's just a superposition of single sharp features. But if you have many features within one e-fold, for example, when inferton rolling, it encounters different steps very quickly, you have a different mechanism to generate non-Gaussian. This is because the very closely spaced feature will introduce some highly frequent oscillation in the inflation parameters like eta and s. Previously, we always say the non-Gaussian is generated at the horizon exit. It's because within the horizon, these modes are highly oscillating, so they kind of cancel out. But if you have some coefficient, coupling constant here is also highly oscillating, and they may resonate when their oscillation coincide with each other. So this will introduce a new mechanism which enables this integration to pick up a large contribution, and it turns out to be well approximated by this form. This is the answer of the A form, and this is a numerical calculation. And Eugene will talk about a lot more about this model in the next talk. I hope not.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a comment that plot there actually is both the numerical and the answer for the top chapter. So you can see it in the
So we can say the amplitude here is approximately invariant, but the frequency is slowly changing. Here it's a high frequency change, a relatively high frequency. When you're going down to the shorter scale, the frequency gets bigger and bigger. So how about the non-attractor initial conditions? So this kind of mechanism, for example, has been introduced by Contaldi et al. To explain some possible low L suppressions in power spectrum, in which case you have a huge enhancement of fast roll, the slow roll parameter in the fast roll case where epsilon is of order 3, which is 100,
two orders of magnitude enhanced of epsilon. So you're wondering about all the epsilon cube terms in action, which is a huge enhancement. However, because this is actually, you can think of as a sharp feature of, as a super horizon size. And so it's after the sharp feature. And the time scale parameterizes that kind of relaxation is given by the Hubble time, 1/h. Also, the mode function is proportional to 1/ε f, which is also suppressed by this function. We have three mode functions suppressed by this parameter as well. So overall, the oscillation running will be, oscillatory running will be similar to the sharp features, but the amplitude is smaller. The last case we consider is there's assumption that the inflation happened to be Branch-Davis vacuum. But however, as many people have pointed out, maybe some new physics will introduce some other component, commonly under the name of transduction physics, but we take it more general in this talk, which means you have another component, C minus is very small compared to one. To calculate the non-Gaussianity of this situation, you simply note that you introduce another component which changes one of the k into minus k because this negative energy components. And then the calculation is very simple. You just replace one of the k in the original form of two large non-Gaussianity by minus k. So you notice that this kind of structure appear in the denominator. Now C minus is small, although it may be enhanced by small sound speed, but a more interesting feature is because of that 1/(k₁+k₂−k₃), it will peak at the Fourier triangle limit. Although I should point out the divergence here is artificial because divergence appears when you assume the non-bound Davis vacuum exists the far infinite. If you cut it off at some place, the divergence behavior here will be replaced by some other behaviors, depend on the nature of cutoff. So as a summary, we see that we have five different kinds of profile, with three of them dominated by shape, each of them associated with different dynamics. Well, that's the signal of ending of talk. each of them has is associated with particular dynamics, and there are two of them is dominated by running. Very interestingly, in single field inflation that I've been talking about, all of them can be big except the first one. But this one is exactly the one people have found by Yadav Wandals and Ichiro Komatsu detection or hint to be large. But as I mentioned, you should try the other answers as well until you are convinced you'll find the right form of non-Gaussianity to rule out the single field models. Generally, you can have different combinations. For example, you have DVI plus some resonance. You can have non-bound Davis vacuum plus a sharp features, which is a combination of shape and running. Now, this will be an interesting challenge for data analysis. But to address a question Sarah just raised, just also to give you a more exciting possibility that the model that we're talking about, for example, DVI inflation, it's a large class of model. There's an interesting feature that if you just start with the field theory Lagrangian and you extend to some region, you will encounter some regions where the perturbation theory breaks down, but the zero mode inflation is still going on. So this is the model that ratio has been introduced. For example, the DBI inflation, the inflaton can be think of as a brain rolling in the warp extra dimension. The warping in extra dimension is just the black holes, but only difference is it's existing in the extra dimensions. So brain rolling in this geometry is in and out, generating the DBI inflation. Notice that there are two interesting properties for the warp factor. One is it provides speed limit that gives the DBI inflation. Another is it redshifts the string scale. So that means when you're going down the throat, the string scale is going down. So in order to the field theory perturbation is valid, you need the Hubble energy to be smaller than the redshift string scale. So that string degrees of freedom is not excited. Otherwise, you will have a phase transition where you not only have a scalar field, but also have a stringy fluctuations. At the same time, you have to figure out the region that the zero mode inflation is valid, which is given by the background. It's not destroyed by the inflationary background H. So in this model, it turns out there's such region where the phase transition happens actually in a very small default. For example, all of all the 10 can be 30 or 40, which means it might well fall into the observable region already. And that kind of phase transition, one can use, one can estimate the, in a two-point correlation function what the two-point correlation function will behave, which tells us the behavior of density perturbation going beyond the field perturbation region. There's an interesting transition of from red spectrum to a blue spectrum, but the running here is only transient, localized in this region. Now we fit this model with the WMAP3 data. Yeah, it's finished. Done, it's done. Yeah. The critical point of the phase transition is happening in this region, which is roughly the large scale. As I said, the two-point correlation function is only estimated, but the only thing is the stringy non-Gaussianity, which is considerably much harder, has not even been estimated yet. The non-bound Davis vacuum may be a hint, but this is a very interesting situation because experimentalists always complain string theory makes no contacts to data. But now there's a chance that experimentalists have already measured something string theory don't know how to calculate. So overall, we have seen the non-Gaussianity theorem data analysis is very rich, but can be manageable and will be very exciting too. Thank you very much.
Are there questions? Yes. Really a small one. You mentioned a couple of times that if it's not bunch Davis, you have to have transplant. I don't understand it. You can choose C1, C2. Bunch Davis is decision invariant. It's quantum field theory in curve space, and that's it. Why do you say it has to be transplanted?
No, not in terms of transplanted. It's originated from transplanted study in some sense. But it's a more general statement, just saying what the new physics comes in your vector. So how to contrast the effect of the new physics. So it can be string scale. In the last example, it can be redshifted string scale.
Yeah, just want to point that out. I mean, that doesn't have to do with anything else. It's just one of these in curve space.
Yeah, it's just a new scale.
Different symmetry. Yeah.
It can even be KK mode, which can be described by field theory. Oh, yeah, just by field theory. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Otherwise, I can't hear you.